I'm Nathan Cones here with your look at the midday news for this Thursday, June 11th, 2026 on KCIM. Rob Sands, the Iowa Democratic nominee for governor, hosted a Q&A with voters last night in Manning in his first public appearance with his pick for Lieutenant Governor Dave Muehlbauer of rural Crawford County. It was a full house of around at least 200 people at the Level B restaurant for the event, and Western Iowa journalist Doug Burns moderated the first half of the program. Muehlbauer, who currently serves as a Crawford County supervisor, is a fifth-generation family farmer and led the night off, saying he's humbled by the support he's already received from his home community since joining the ticket earlier this week.
This winter, we were calving cows. During the blizzard, we had 40 cows in one night. Gene Steffes, you all know Gene from Manning, he called me throughout the day. I think he called five times and said, "Dave, I'm going to come out and help you." I said, "No, Gene, we got it. You don't need to come out in the blizzard. We got it." He shows up at 9 o'clock at night. "All right, I'm ready to work. You guys got, I'm in here for the night shift. What do I need to do?" And he sat in our hot room of our barn and dried off calves all night long until we got the next morning. That is what community does for each other. We are here to support, here to be for, care for each other. And that is what been instilled in me, and that is what I want to bring to Bob Briggs.
In a race that is projected to be as close as Iowa's governor's race is likely to be, the choice of running mate could make the difference in the final tally. Sands says Muehlbauer is an excellent pick for lieutenant governor, not only for his clear ties to the ag sector and his ability to connect with voters in a district that President Trump won by 43.5 points in 2024, but because of the man he is.
"I think most of the time people in Iowa care about two things. Do you work? And how do you treat people? And if you're working and you're contributing to your community, and if you treat people decently, then most of the time they think you're going to be all right. And I definitely get that from Dave, just like focus on the simple stuff. And I think we need more of that in politics."
One of the first questions of the evening was about Muehlbauer's family's political history. Muehlbauer's father, Dan, and his grandfather, Lewis, both served as county supervisors and in the Iowa legislature. One thing he took to heart growing up in a rural political atmosphere is that the core of every decision you make, whether at the courthouse or at the state house, should be for the benefit of the people you serve.
"But the thing that I really take to heart with my family and their tradition is that when they talk about what they're doing, whether it's politics or farming or serving communities or public service, they just have this genuine care that you want to know that people are going to be okay and that they can make good decisions to help them out. And then the genuine care for people is just rooted in who they are. And that's the way I approach being a supervisor and a farmer, and that's why I made it really, really easy for me to say yes to Rob, because Rob has that same genuine care that my family has."
Later topics range from the state's water quality concerns and economic uncertainty in the emerging era of AI to the state's education savings accounts and the viability of Iowa's rural communities. Sand acknowledged that if elected, he would almost certainly be working with a Republican-controlled House and Senate. However, he doesn't believe that is necessarily a bad thing for Iowans.
"I once was a part of a group, and it's a thing called Leadership Iowa, and we had a visit where we were talking with Mike Bronstall and Linda Uppmeyer. It was the Democratic leader of the state Senate when they had the majority there, and the Republican leader of the state House. And they said, we do our best work when we have divided government because we've got to listen to each other. That's what I want. That to me is what Iowa is. It's not about, I got to agree with you on everything. It's like, no, we just want to make sure that everybody's represented, that everybody's welcome, and that their opinion, you can sort the wheat from the chaff. Some of their ideas are going to be good and others are going to be bad. But where you agree, you find those areas because you have to get anything done at all."
Sand is up against the GOP's primary winner, Zach Lane, in the November general election. Lane is yet to announce a running mate, but the clock's ticking for him to do so, as the Iowa GOP's state convention is this weekend. And we do need to step away for just a moment. We'll be right back. More news after this on KCIM.
If you haven't gotten an auto quote from Lens Insurance, you could be paying more than you need to. Auto Owners Insurance is known for strong financial stability and great discounts for families, especially student drivers and young adults on the road. At Lens Insurance, we work in partnership with Auto Owners Insurance to give you personal service, real savings, and peace of mind that you can trust your coverage. This is Ken Pyre with Lens Insurance. Call me today at 792-1700 to find out if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Audubon Figure Eight races are back tomorrow night. Pits open at 5 with admission just $10 for ages 6 and up. Kids 5 and under are free. Pit passes are available for ages 13 and up for just $25. The racing starts promptly at 7:30. Audubon County Figure Eight races tomorrow night.
An opioid overdose doesn't always look dramatic, but the signs are important to know. If someone is hard to wake, breathing slowly or not at all, or their fingertips or lips turn blue or gray, it could be an overdose. Act right away. Call 911 and give Narcan if you have it. Narcan is safe and easy to use, and it can also save a life. You can get Narcan nasal spray at your local public health office, New Opportunities, or at most pharmacies. This message is brought to you by the Carroll County Opioid Settlement Fund Committee, committed to opioid awareness, prevention, in our community.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa is urging officials with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and other federal agencies to fast-track critical preventatives to address the risk posed by New World screwworm. The screwworm was recently confirmed in Texas and New Mexico. On Wednesday, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins testified before the Senate Ag Committee, and Grassley says screwworm was one of several issues he addressed with Rollins during his allotted time, specifically vaccinations currently undergoing trials.
Because there is a vaccination for it, and I think they're using some of that vaccination on a trial test in a smaller area of Texas. It could be a 40-square-mile area. I don't know how big it is. But where there was screwworms down there, she didn't give a very clear answer on vaccinations, but she did say how this administration, from even before screwworm came into this country, that we started moving on it right away in the new Trump administration. And I believe that they have.
New World screwworm was declared eradicated in the U.S. in 1966, but localized infestations have appeared periodically over the last six decades. While the flesh-eating pest has never been found in Iowa, it poses a significant potential risk to the livestock industry at large nationally. Previous infestations have been quelled using targeted eradication methods and the introduction of sterile male flies, known as the sterile insect technique, known as SIT. While that method has been successful, it typically takes several years to take full effect. Grassley says that's just too long.
And I'm not speculating that it's widespread now, but even one brings up a lot of worry. But we can't wait 3 or 4 years for a fly that's sterile. We need to make sure that we vaccinate now, and I made that very clear.
Researchers from the Ames-based USDA National Veterinary Services Laboratories have played a central role in testing efforts, and a team from that lab was deployed to Texas earlier this week to assist in the response. Fortunately, Iowa's cold winters prevent New World screwworm from establishing a foothold here, but imported cattle do pose a moderate risk for Iowa herds. Grassley made his comments on Wednesday during his Capitol Hill report with Iowa reporters. Iowa's gas prices dipped for the third consecutive week in the latest report from the Iowa Department of Ag and Land Stewardship and AAA Iowa. As of Wednesday, the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline in the state was $3.78, 13 cents below last week's price, but still 86 cents higher than a year ago. The national average on Wednesday was down 11 cents to $4.15 per gallon. Iowa retail diesel prices were down 14 cents to a $4.87 average compared to $3.30 per gallon this time last year. Iowa prices are nearly a half dollar lower than the national average, which stood at $5.30 per gallon as of Wednesday. At the Des Moines terminal, E10 was $2.70, unleaded A7 was $3.34, ULSD number 2 was $3.44, ULSD number 1 was $3.62, and E70 was $2.37. Natural gas prices at the Henry Hope reporting site were up 2 cents to $3.22 per MMBTU. The local group Concerned Iowans will again be hosting a peaceful protest tomorrow night along U.S. Highway 30 in Carroll. Attendees will gather on the north side of the Carroll County Courthouse along the sidewalk from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. to voice their general displeasure with the nation's direction. There's no central theme for the gathering, and the group indicated that everything from the Iran war and government corruption to Medicare and Medicaid cuts and veteran benefits are of concern. While the group does not have a stated party affiliation, previous protests have coincided with the No King's Day protests, and signs hoisted by those in attendance have aligned closely with the Democratic Party's priorities. They last gathered on May 1st in conjunction with the National May Day of protests. The group is requesting food donations for participants and passersby, which will then be donated to local food pantries. Before I go, don't forget tonight there is that town hall, public forum, public meeting about the CCSD long-term facility planning, where they're going to talk a little bit about the proposed long-term plans for the district and its attendance centers, as well as collect feedback from folks. So if you're a stakeholder, take some time and attend that. Again, that's at 6:30 at the Carroll High School Media Center. That's wrapping up your news. I'm Nathan Cones reporting.